Sunday, November the 24th. This was the day the president lay in state at the Capitol. It is a day I will never forget, or will the other people of America. In contrast, the day before, it was a bright, clear day of sparkling sun. We began by going to St. Mark's to church with Lucy and Congressman Thornberry. There was a line in Bill Baxter's sermon, something about every man who had fostered or permitted to be fostered around him the atmosphere of hate, had his hand on the gun barrel that day. After church, we went to the White House and waited in the green room for the family. As they came in, Mrs. Shriver turned to me and said, "I hear Oswald has been killed in that clipped clinical manner that some of the Kennedy ladies have." That was the first news I had about Oswald. We were told by protocol that we would arrive with Mrs. Kennedy and the Attorney General. Suddenly, Mrs. Kennedy came walking in, leading John John by one hand and Caroline in the other, in two darling blue coats. And then I realized there would be six of us in the car, and I wondered if we shouldn't offer to change and get in another one. But it turned out that we all got into the same limousine, Mrs. Kennedy and Lyndon in the back seat, the Attorney General and I in the jumper seats, Caroline next to her mother, and John John being absolutely peripatetic, jumping from back seat to his uncle's lap to the front seat and back again. As soon as we emerged from the gates of the White House, the first thing I was aware of was that sea of faces stretching away on every side. Silent, watching faces. I wanted to cry for them and with them. But it was impossible to permit the catharsis of tears. I don't know quite why, except that perhaps one reason is that the continuity of strength demands it. Another reason was the dignity of Mrs. Kennedy and the members of the family themselves demanded it. In front of us, there was a handsome, black, riderless horse with his boots reversed. I recognized it at once as the symbol of a fallen leader, but I didn't really know much about it. I asked Linda Bird later, and she said it went long back into history, in fact, back to Genghis Khan. And then the horse was sacrificed at the grave. A few centuries ago, they abolished that part of the custom. In front of this horse, there was the caisson, drawn by six white horses, the caisson itself draped with a flag. Soldiers marching, always, the whole time, this sound of muffled drums in the background, flags at half-mast. But most of all, the sea of faces all around us, and that curious sense of silence, broken only by an occasional sob. I kept on comparing it in my mind with the time FDR died. But that was so different, because then everybody could be as emotional as they felt like. The feeling continued in me that I was stalking step by step through a Greek tragedy. I remember a definition of it back in college sometime, that a Greek tragedy is a noble protagonist being overtaken by an inevitable doom. But then there is a third ingredient and I can't remember it. Sometime I must look it up. The only note of levity was John John, who bounced from the back to his uncle's lap to the front until finally the attorney general said, "John John, you be good. You'll be good. We'll give you a flag afterwards. You can march with the Powers." We were a pretty silent group as we rode along, each wrapped in his own thoughts. The only time the Attorney General said anything was when we passed a big building on the left, and he looked over there and said, and I think as much to himself, perhaps to the children, "That was where it all began. That was where he ran for the presidency." He has a granite-like sort of a face, and there was a flinching of the jaw at that moment that almost made, it made your soul flinch for him. After that interminable drive, we got to the Capitol, went into the rotunda. There in the center, right underneath the dome, was the flag-draped coffin with the honor guard around it. One of them, I noticed, had on the green beret. There were eulogies by Chief Justice Warren, by Speaker McCormick, by Mike Mansfield. An odd thing about Mike Mansfield's, he that modest of men repeated over and over the phrase, and she took a ring from her finger and placed it on her hand, until I thought if he said it one more time, I would scream if nobody else did. Then Lyndon advanced and laid a wreath at the foot of the casket, and Mrs. Kennedy went over and knelt. Odd how you remember little things, but I remember how gracefully she knelt and kissed the casket, with Caroline by her side, who simply put her little hand on the flag, sort of underneath the flag. John John had disappeared. I think maybe it was high time that he started his marching. And then we left in separate cars. To me, one of the saddest things in the whole tragedy is that Mrs. Kennedy achieved